Pavement design methods have now been accepted in all states of Australia, and the standards are specified in the Pavement Design Guide. That publication, now so important, has travelled along a difficult road.
Well, it started actually in the mid-1970s, where at that time each road authority had its own pavement design method. And there was a working group set up under NASRA, which was the National Association of Australian State Road Authorities, to try and bring these together and have a national pavement design procedure. It was generally thought at the time that this would be a simple matter, that we'd sort of put them all together in a book and pin them together and everyone would accept it. Turned it out to be a much more complex matter than that, and agreement couldn't be reached. So in, I think it was 1981, there was an interim guide to pavement thickness design that was issued on a very limited basis by NASRA for comment, but it wasn't accepted by anybody. At the same time, there was a working group set up to carry that forward to become a national guide. I was fortunate enough to be a member of that working group. We toiled away for 7 years to actually produce this, but the pavement design methods up until then were all empirical methods that were based on the past. They were all unreliable. So this working group worked on what's called the mechanistic procedure, in which the pavement is considered as an engineering mechanism. So when that was published in 1987, it was a pretty major step forward in terms of pavement design, and it was adopted by all the road authorities, albeit that most road authorities wrote a supplement to it to tie it into their own material specifications and how they viewed the world.
Teaching and research into stabilisation in engineering courses began at the University of New South Wales under Professor Dennis Orchard during the 1960s. He stimulated the curiosity of many of the persons interviewed for this project. Brian Shackle recalls.
The first work that I was aware of was done either at the School of Highway Engineering or in the Institute for Highways and Traffic Research that shared the same laboratories and same buildings. And that work was certainly well in progress in the 1960s and continued through the 1970s at least. I think by the 1980s it effectively ceased because the Institute and the School of Highway Engineering were absorbed into civil engineering. The laboratories were dismantled, and one of the casualties of that was research into stabilised materials.
So was there much taught about stabilisation in University of New South Wales engineering courses?
At the postgraduate level, yes. The students who studied for Master of Engineering Science and Highway Engineering were certainly taught this. They still are. But at the undergraduate level, it would be perhaps less than 1 hour in total spent on it.
Research and development undertaken by road authorities and industry is declining, a worrying trend for the industry. Jeff Udale comments.
The amount of research and development in general has dropped off within the state road authorities and AusRoads in the past few years. This is probably due to the swing away from emphasis on the technical to emphasis on managing the road asset. And I think it's dropped away in a lot of areas, and stabilisation is one of those.
What implications do you think that has for the future quality of our roads?
I think it does have an implication because a lot of the materials research that was done, it's an evolutionary thing. I think probably the deep lift stabilisation was as close to revolutionary as you get in these matters. It was a significant step that happened in a short period of time. But a lot of the work done on materials is evolutionary. And because the road authority spends so much money on maintenance and construction, there is a benefit cost in these research programs that seems to have, the idea of that seems to have been lost to a certain extent. The research effort has sort of faded away as a result of that, which in my personal opinion is not a good omen for the future.